All right. First of all, how are you guys? You're all well. You need a joke. I mean, you just heard one, didn't you, really? But I mean, do you need a joke? Well, there was a Christian lady who lived next door to an atheist. Every day when the lady prayed, the atheist guy would hear her. He thought to himself, she is one crazy lady praying all the time like that. Doesn't she know there isn't a God? Well, many times while she was praying, he would go to the house and harass her, saying, lady, why do you pray all the time? Don't you know that there is no God? But she kept on praying. One day she ran out of food, and as usual, she was praying to the Lord, explaining her situation and thanking him for what he was going to do. Well, as usual, the atheist heard her praying and thought to himself, I'll fix her. So he went down to the local IGA, bought a whole bunch of food, then took them to the house, dropped it off right in front on their front veranda, rang the doorbell, then jumped and hid behind the bushes to see what she would do. Well, when she opened the door and saw the shopping bags filled with food, she began to praise the Lord with all her heart, jumping and singing and shouting everywhere. The atheist guy then jumped out of the bushes and told her, you crazy old lady, God didn't buy you those groceries. I bought you the groceries. Well, she broke out and started running down the street, shouting and praising. When he finally caught her, he asked her what her problem was. And she said, I knew the Lord would provide me with some food, but I didn't know that he was going to make the devil pay for it. The power of prayer reminds me of when the storm raged. The captain realized his ship was sinking fast. He called out, anyone here know how to pray? One man stepped forward. Hey, captain, I know how to pray. The captain says, good. You pray while the rest of us put our life jackets on. We're one short. The power of prayer. This morning, my message is access through prayer. In your outlines, 1 Peter 3, chapter 3, verse 12 says, the eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. Now, if I told you that you were going to have an opportunity this morning, after the service, when you got home, that you were going to meet Jesus Christ in person for 15 minutes, what would you request of him? Think about it. If you met Jesus Christ this afternoon, when you got home, just for 15 minutes, that's right, just doing a drive-by, 15 minutes, what would you ask for him? You could ask him anything you wanted. Would you ask for protection? Would you ask him for a job? Would you ask him for money? What would you ask for? Remember last week I told you that Jesus' disciples had this actual opportunity. And Luke 11:1 tells us that they came to Jesus one day and they had a request. Lord, teach us to pray. Now, why of all the things they could have asked for, did they ask that question? And I think it was because they saw the results of prayer in Jesus' life. They saw him pray and they saw what happened. The disciples had watched Jesus preach the greatest sermons ever. They had been there while he performed miracles and never once did they say, Lord, teach us to preach, or Lord, teach us to do miracles, or Lord, teach us to raise the dead. Instead, they requested, teach us how to pray. Now, from watching the example of Jesus, these men knew that prayer was the key to what they needed in life. Now, I'm going to add to the sermon a few more messages, access to God. Because I was in my office this week and I thought, there's more to this. But I'm going to start off this morning with prayer. Now, we're beginning with prayer because prayer is one of the most important, yet one of the most neglected ways of accessing God that God has offered to us. Also, we're heading into the week, last week of 21 days of prayer and fasting. Some of you are probably going, oh, 21 days of prayer and fasting, I better start that this week. Some of you probably haven't even started. Some of you have been really good and you're going praying every day, which is great. But today we don't want to talk about boring, lifeless, mundane, soppy prayers that mean nothing, that change no one. We're going to learn today how to pray in such a way that our lives will be changed, as well as our lives of the people around us, and you Red Froggers that are going down to Red Frogs, John Bastian, Lynn, they're going to be doing ministry. This will help you this week to get prepared, and this will help the Red Froggers when you're down there with the people. I hope you tuned in today. All you people tuned in. Because if you're willing to learn some of the principles I'm going to be sharing with you and actually apply them to your life and circumstances, I promise you that you will begin to experience real, demonstrable, measurable, mind-blowing results. You want that?
Yep.
Four of you do. That's good. Well, today we're going to learn four basic principles, okay, of accessing God through prayer. No, sorry, we're going to assess God through prayer, not gods through prayer. And we'll be taking our instruction from John chapter 15. So in your outline, when I access God in prayer, I declare my dependence on God. When I pray, I'm saying, God, I need you. For some reason, many of us have a problem admitting that. Perhaps it's part of the Australian mindset. We value independence and hard working and making it on our own. And while that can be a good thing, if you learn anything when you come to Jesus Christ, it is that you don't have the ability to make it on your own spiritually. And the reason why a lot of people don't pray is because it costs. It costs honesty. I mean, who likes going to a person saying, oh, I admit I'm inadequate. I'm helpless. I need your help in this situation. As long as you think that you're self-sufficient, prayer will have no meaning for you at all. John 15, 5-7 says, yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who, what? Remain in me. I love that. Those of you who remain in me. And I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Anyone who parts from me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you stay joined, so we've got, for those who remain in me, and apart from me, you can do nothing. And then it says, but if you stay joined to me, and my words remain in you, you may ask any request you like, and it will be granted. That's what Jesus says. That's his word. He says, if you really place your dependence in me, you can ask whatever you will, and I will give it. It's an unbelievable promise of prayer, isn't it? We need to notice that the promise is for those who are dependent not only on Jesus Christ, but have his words within them. How many of us have the word in us? This type of person is in touch with God and his will and prays accordingly. It's like a branch and the vine. Jesus says the branch is connected to the vine, so if you cut the branch off, it loses its strength. See, if you cut a Christian off from God, he withers. Now, not long ago, I saw a TV documentary about deep sea divers. And I've got a picture up here. They'd recovered some gold from a sunken ship in the North Atlantic. We have this picture. They were talking about how they let a diving bell down. Is there a picture there of the diving bell? The next one. No? Yes? It's there? It's really important that this diving bell goes up, because I spent ages searching for these dive bells. I really want the dive bell to go up. Are you changing the one, are you? Hey, that's it. Okay, so this is really interesting. You're going to learn something. This is a dive bell. This is what they used to use way back. It's like a bell. But to go and get all the gold from down in the shipwrecks, you know, when the pirates were around, men used to go up inside there and they used to drop the bell. You know how you put a cup in water and it, that's how they used to go deep down. Now just imagine if that tilted, the guys would die, wouldn't they? So come a couple of hundred years later, I got this dive bell, which people can stay up down there for a week if they want to. All right, that's a very big dive bell. But the only thing that's connected is obviously cable and the air hose. Okay? And it fascinated me. I was watching this documentary and it made me think. The air hose. Like the air hose, prayer is our support system. I want you to get this. Prayer is our support system. You cut it off and you run out of spiritual air. Just like being in a dive bell. We need to realize the depth of our need for God, that our survival will access Him through prayer. Cut that off, what's going to happen? We're going to wither. Just like being in a dive bell. That's the only thing that connects us spiritually, is prayer. Number two, when I access God in prayer, I grow in my relationship with God. You know, when I first got out of high school, I had a boss named Gary, and after working together for some time, the relationship I had with my boss began to change. And while he remained the boss, he began to confide in me in a different level. You know, we would spend a lot of time together inside and outside of work, and we found that we had a number of things in common. We moved from a boss-employee relationship to a friend-friend relationship. And the more time you spend with God, you will find that the nature of your relationship will change. You'll not only become more saved or more attractive, men, okay, or get more stuff, you won't become more attractive, or get you more stuff. But your relationship with God will change from that of master servant to master friend. In John chapter 15:15-16 says, I no longer call you servants, because a master doesn't confide in his servants. Now, you are my friends, since I've told you everything the Father told you. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. I'm going to read that again. I appointed you to go and produce fruit, okay, that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. What's coming first here? The production of what? Fruit. And then what? And then you ask and you will receive. See, prior to this passage, Jesus had been confiding in his disciples concerning his impending death. He brought the relationship into a whole new level. He now wants to share with them as confidants, not as his servants. And he promises them something very interesting here. Notice the intimacy in prayer does not lead to the production of fruit. Rather, the opposite is true. Producing fruit leads to intimacy. Do you understand that? I build my relationship with God by becoming like him through a life of righteousness and dedication to his kingdom agenda. As I produce lasting fruit, God will God promises to grant what? Whatever we ask for, as we ask for it by the authority of Jesus Christ. And what happens in it to our relationship? I live for God, I pray to Him, and He grants whatever I ask by the authority of Jesus Christ, and I live for God. It is a relationship based on friendship, understanding, and mutual purpose. As I live for God, I understand His will and our relationship grows. Okay? He speaks to me not only through His Word and through the Holy Spirit, but through answering the request that I ask of Him. I think it's important to note that God does not invite us to call Him friend, but He feels free to address us in this way. And why is that? It is because God is always God. He is always the Creator. He is always the Sustainer. He is always the Holy One. And through His Son, He invites us to approach Him not as servants, but as friends. He reminds the Lord, but we move from servant. He remains the Lord, sorry, but we move from servant to friend. Number three, when we access God in prayer, I ask and receive from God. Now, I want you to listen to this. Not me drinking, but I want you to listen to this, all right? I once read a rather self-righteous sounding book about prayer where the author stated that we should never ask God for anything. Or if we had to, it should be at a minimum. He believed that the more mature the Christian becomes, the less that they will request from God, and the more they spend their time just praising His name. Ladies and gentlemen, that is about the biggest load of nonsense I've ever heard. God wants us to ask and receive from Him in prayer. In fact, the longer I've been a Christian, the more I ask Him for, because I have learned to believe in His ability to a much greater extent than ever before. John 15:7 says, "If you stay joined to me and my words remain in you, you may ask any request you like and it will be granted." John 15:16 says, "The Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name." John 16:24, "Ask using my name," Jesus Christ, "and you will receive and you will have abundant," what? "Joy." Luke 17:16, "Even if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you should say to the mulberry, say to this mulberry tree, may God uproot you and throw you into the sea, and it would obey you." Mark 11:23-24, "I assure you that you can say to this mountain, may God lift you up and throw you into the sea, and your command will be obeyed. All that's required is that you really believe and do not doubt in your heart." Listen to me. You can pray for anything, and if you believe, you will have it. What is he saying? Is he saying that if we believe, we will have unlimited power of God? If I truly believe, I will receive. Let's go back to Luke 17:6. "Even if you have faith as small as a mustard seed." It's not about faith. It is, but it's about belief. Your faith can be small as a mustard seed, but if we believe. Do you believe that God can use our church to lead thousands of people to Jesus Christ? Do you? Well, guess what? He's doing it now. The people that we support out on the mission field, Godfrey Tinker, I've shared with you before. He can now go into every Muslim school in Uganda, public school, and minister his Christian program. The government have asked him to do that. That's thousands and thousands and thousands of people. He couldn't do that if we weren't supporting him. Yesterday I did a wedding for this for our old neighbour, and this is going back 20 odd years ago. I didn't realise that he and his sister went to Hillside Christian School. We are impacting people every day. We've got the Bible College here, operating Tabor next door. We've got the retirement village. How many residents are in here this morning? Wow! Welcome. I want to see more residents. Hey, have you residents invited your neighbours? We've got these guys going down to Red Frogs. We've got John Bastian going over to India. And I tell you what, India isn't a pretty place to be at this moment if you're a Christian. You know, they've told Mother Teresa's orphanage that they can have no longer any more kids. They're shutting her down. Because the government are bang on into Hindu. They're actually paying Christians to revert back to Hinduism. And John's going to be going preaching up with Joshua Lal's show. I spoke to Joshua Lal yesterday. Things are getting really tough in India. And bless you, John. Lynn, going over to the Philippines. How many lives and families have you impacted through your businesses? You know, this church, people in this church and this church Hillside is doing a lot. Believe it. Get part of it. Be a part of it. Do you believe that God has the power to fulfill your dreams? Well, then why aren't you praying those kind of prayers? There are a number of reasons that prayers aren't being answered, and ultimately it's up to God what he does. Now, sometimes it isn't what we want. Okay, the answer isn't what we want. But somehow it may be what we need. Now, that's a pretty strong pill to swallow for someone that's just gone through some tough times. Does it mean that they lack faith or don't believe? Of course not. You know, I've seen some amazing miracles in my time, and I've seen some heartache to supposedly unanswered prayers. But I believe that God answers every prayer. It may not be what we want the outcome to be. But that is not going to stop me from continuing to pray, because I believe that God can heal. I believe that God can deliver. I believe that God can restore. I believe that God can transform. And I believe that he can turn darkness into light. And when we read the New Testament and read about the early Christians, it is an absolute mind blower. They were happy, joyful, contagious, enthusiastic about life. Read the book of Acts. They had the power in their lives. They saw miracles happening on a regular basis. They had the fire of the Holy Spirit operating inside and outside of them. And you ask a typical New Testament era Christian, how's it going? And he would say, business as usual, one miracle after another. And we say, how come I don't have that kind of power? Because we are not asking at that level. The bigger your request, the bigger your belief in God. Notice I'm not saying faith, but belief. I get tired of asking God to do things that I can accomplish in my own power. I want to request things from God that can't be accomplished by anyone else or seems impossible. What are you lacking right now in your life simply because you've never asked God for it? You've tried other things, but you've never stopped to ask God for it. Psalm 37:4 says, what do you ask for? Ask for what you want. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Desires. Not the worldly desires. Not the fleshly desires. Don't be fooled. If you're delighting yourself in God, you're trying your best as you know how to get God's Spirit to live in your life, your desires aren't going to be wrong. If you know God's Word, if you know God on a personal relationship, your desires aren't going to be wrong. And God promises that He will give you those things. Psalm 84:11. No good thing will the Lord withhold from those who do what is right. See, God is not up in heaven holding all these things back and saying, you've got to convince me for me to give them to you. He's saying, ask. When you ask, everybody gets blessed. God gets blessed because it shows His nature as a giver. You get blessed because you get the answer to your request. The world gets blessed because all of a sudden you've got a testimony. One thing that I love about some people who have answered prayers is that they can't keep it to themselves. They share their testimony. We have to share our testimonies, people. When you start sharing with everybody, that's what God wants. Testimony. I've got a testimony of last week. You know that basket over there with all the names that we've put in there? Well, I put my mate's name in there, and I've been praying, Lord, show me how I can show your love to this guy. Now, my mate's pretty independent. He doesn't need God. And he's been like that ever since I've known him. He's a tough nut. But last week, someone slipped me an envelope. And it had some money in it. And they said, that's for you, Pastor Kerry. Anyway, that Sunday afternoon, I had my mate rock up home. And he said, we were just talking, and he says, oh, it's been a really hard week. I went to the ATM and there's no money in there. I haven't been paid yet. And, you know, I've got a heap of kids and all that. And the Lord prompted me. I was blessed Sunday morning. But you know what? I was blessed Sunday morning to what? To be a blessing. For the first time, I was able to speak His language. I was able to give Him money, which he didn't want to take it. He's very prideful. Why would he want to take money from a pastor? But I said to him, I said, you've got to take this because you'll offend me if you don't. You're in need. I was blessed. I want to bless you. When we pray, we've got to allow God to do things that are outside our scope. But we have to be ready for those things. I could have easily kept that money. Actually, I wish I did. No, I don't. No. But it's not about the money. For the first time in over 20-odd years, I was able to show my mate the love of God in his language. Tick, tick, tick. That's one cog moved. Moving him closer to God. You know what's going to happen? I've been praying for this guy for 20-odd years. Our whole family have. And you know, I'm expecting one day for him to come to a men's group or something like that and just one of you guys to say, hey, why don't you get yourself right with the Lord? Oh, yeah, okay, all right, boom, boom. I'll punch him when he doesn't. I won't. I'd want to. Listen, when you pray things, don't just sit back on your butt and wait. Listen to what God's instruction is and follow His ways. You know, sometimes we think He's a genie in a bottle. The Word says, I pray and I'll be given it. We once had a millionaire in our congregation, the late Phil Guy. I remember he shared at a men's breakfast once that if you want money, You be careful what you pray for. Because if you want money, you don't pray for money, okay? You don't pray for wealth. What you pray for is that, Lord, open doors for me that I may work hard to glorify you. And in doing that, blessings will come. Lord, I want to be blessed to be a blessing. That's what you pray for. You don't pray, God, give me money, and then just sit on your butt and do nothing. You'll be amazed how many Christians do that. That's not what our God is about. If you want to pray for things, Lord, do this for me. I want to do this. I want to do that. Okay, now you've prayed that with your eyes closed. Great. Now open your eyes and see what God is doing around you. Get off your backside and see what doors are opening, and then you go through them. Continually praying. And you will see a whole new world. You're all... Thank you. Number four. When I access God in prayer, I build a kingdom for God. Now, this is the most exciting thing about prayer. It's an act of cooperation with God and building of his kingdom on earth. Prayer is God's program. Prayer is God's modus operandi. Now, prayer is God saying, I have chosen to limit myself to what I accomplish on earth simply by limiting myself to the faith of my children on earth. What they believe me for, I will do. Now, when we pray for other people, we're cooperating with God. When we're teaming up with God to accomplish God's work in the world. Now, probably the most amazing verse looks at this is in the Bible, and it's John chapter 14, verse 11 and 12. It says, just believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me. Or at least believe because of what you have seen me do. The truth is, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. Who will do these things? Anyone who believes. Have you been doing what Jesus has been doing lately? Have you been raising the dead? Have any of you been raising the dead? Have you healed any sick lately? I think this is the hardest verse in the Bible to believe. He says, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works. They are the words of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. I'd have to admit it, and as your pastor, if there's any verse in the Bible that I have a hard time believing, it's actually this verse. I don't see myself doing greater things than Jesus Christ. Do you see yourself doing greater miracles than Jesus Christ? It's kind of a hard verse to believe, isn't it? But Jesus says it. Now, if we read the next two verses, I think it will begin to make a lot of sense. John 14, 13, 14 says, you can ask for anything in my name and I will do it because the work of the Son brings glory to the Father. Because the work of the Son brings glory to the Father. Yes, ask anything in my name and I will do it. Well, how is it possible to do greater miracles than Jesus? It's simple. You want to know? Do you want to know? Do you want to know? This is going to change your life. Do you want to know? It's through prayer. Simple as that. Prayer is not limited by time nor space. It is limited in scope. When Jesus Christ was here on earth, he voluntarily limited himself by becoming a human. By God becoming human form, he said, I can only be at one place at one time. He was limited to do the miracles within the vicinity where he was. But prayer is not limited by time or space. Prayers are not limited. The prayers of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago are still being answered today. The prayers that I pray today can be answered today or 3 hours' time or 3 weeks or 3 months or 3 years. Prayer is not limited by space. You can pray and it's like sending a missile. Now, I could pray for somebody in Uganda or Thailand or India or China or the Philippines, and it's like sending a missile directly into that person's heart, and I never have to leave the place I'm at. People may reject your appeals. People may reject your arguments. People may reject you as a person, but they are totally defenseless against your prayers. Amen. They have no defense system. They go straight to the heart. Like a river, God can change the course of history by prayers. He can change individuals. He can change families. He can change communities. He can change nations, all through prayer. Are his people praying? And he will use us and our prayers and our faith and our belief to build his kingdom. Can I have the music team up, please? In conclusion, I want our church to be a praying church. Amen? My heart and desire is that each and every one of you will have a revelation and grasp what it is to have a relationship with God through prayer. Because really, that is the only way that you can have a relationship with God. You can read his word, which I really strongly encourage you to do. But are you praying his desires for the kingdom? You know, we could change. We've always prayed once a month on a Thursday with all the pastors, and we've been praying that Kalamunda Shire will become a Christian Shire and be proud of it. Just imagine if all the congregational people and all the churches in this Shire were praying that same prayer. Because the more you pray, the more you believe. The more you believe, the more you pray. The more you pray, the more you believe. And then you know what? You start walking in that belief. You start talking in that belief. You start going into the shopping centres and you just walk with that belief. God said in Isaiah 56 that his house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Guess what? You're sitting in his house. And that is what we plan to be. All nations, all people, all groups, all colours, all walks of life will be welcome in this house of prayer. My hope and prayer for you today is that you not only realize the importance of what I'm talking about today in your head, but it moves from your head into your heart and they work together and it starts transforming you. Today is the day to begin to access God in prayer. I want all the red frogs.